We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire DFS show. I'm Adam Zdrug, joined by Jack Burkhart. We're talking Champions League. Champions League is back after a one-week break. We got a Champions League break. We didn't get a break from anything else, but here we are. This is Tuesday's slate, two-game slate. Chelsea are home against Borussia Dortmund. They are down 1-0 in that tie, and then Benfica are up 2-0 against Bruges, and they are home. First up, Jack, I listened to the beginning of the weekend show, and I want to just report that I had an everything bagel with cream cheese. I had bacon, egg, and cheese on a hard roll. I had it all. I had so many carbs that I'm still full, and I flew back this morning. So
it sounds like you ate well, Adam. Very good. Do you have a favorite?
Favorite just like thing that I had? I mean, I don't know. It's all, I got to think about it some more. You know, it just,
you gotta let it process.
It was just a busy weekend that I spent with my friend and his newborn, or his son that's almost two now. And it was just a busy weekend. He showed us around New York, showed us around Hoboken and around the city a little bit. So we went a little bit of everywhere Friday, Saturday, fantastic. Sunday. So,
well, hopefully you had some good pizza too. That's another important.
We went to John's. I forgot to mention that. We went to John's on Bleecker. So there you go.
There you go.
But we're back to Champions League. Okay. So Benfica, we got the implied goal total, 2.11. They kind of dominated the first matchup. And then I think they got a couple late goals. If I remember correctly, I'm a little behind here, but Chelsea, their implied total 1.69. Dortmund, I was telling you before the show, Dortmund have won 10 straight matches. They have not dropped a point since the restart. 8 wins in Bundesliga. They're now, I believe, they're tied atop of with Bayern Munich, top of Bundesliga. They got won a Pokal match, and then they beat Chelsea in the first leg. So we have these odds where we know how Chelsea have played, and now we get these odds. You kind of question the odds a little bit here, but I guess, what are your impressions here on these two matchups? You think Bruges have a chance to steal a goal, to steal anything from this spot?
Yeah,
it just doesn't feel like it, right?
It doesn't feel like it, especially when you look at Bruges' form. So they're fourth in the Belgian league. So they're not even the best team in the Belgian league. So I'm inclined to think that these odds are right. It's just, they haven't really, I think they've won two matches since the new year, two or three at most from what I saw. So this isn't a team that's playing particularly well right now. They have to go on the road to Benfica, a team that is playing quite well. I mean, they're cruising through the league. I think they have 8 points on top of the Portuguese first division, so we can double check that. They're playing really well. They'll play at home. So I think the question is really, you know, can Bruges sneak in one goal? And maybe we can try to target one of their cheap players for that. But beyond that, I would be really surprised if they got a result beyond that. I mean, I imagine it would be like Benfica score a couple goals early, pull some of their starters off, and then, you know, it's like sleepy time. They, you know, concede a late, really sloppy goal or something like that. So I still think it's going to be worth targeting Benfica players. I mean, they're at home. They're going to want to entertain their fans. They're going to want to do a good job. But there is some worry about them letting off the gas. We'll see what their lineup looks like. And I mean, these odds for Chelsea, I mean, I've watched Chelsea. They didn't play particularly well. I mean, they ran the game against Leeds, but like, this isn't a team that feels like they should be minus money favorites against any team in good form in one of Europe's top leagues, so let alone Dortmund. I mean, it's going to be a home game. It's not going to be an easy game. I just feel like these odds are off by, 5-10% or something. And I think the field's going to act that way as well.
Yeah, with Bruges, you brought it up, but over the weekend, they lost 3-0 against a bad, not a good Belgian team, and they played pretty much all their regulars, so that's not a good look for them going into this spot. And then, I mean, I always say it on these shows, but I like backing Portuguese teams at home, and now we get Benfica at home. So,
and this is our team, Adam, Benfica.
This is our team. We're on every show for all the Benfica slates. Until Benfica get to the final, we're going to be on the final show, just breaking down João Mário.
Just pounding the table for João Mário. Benfica, yeah. Send us some merch. We'll influence for your team in the States.
I do have a Benfica scarf now I think about it. I've been to one of their home matches. So there you go. I didn't even know it, but I am a Benfica fan. So
there you go.
So for the lineups, over the weekend, we're back with the three center backs for Chelsea. Graham Potter had enough of dropping points, losing matches. Let's go back to three center backs. And then they barely snuck out a win against Leeds. And we assume that's going to happen again. I mean, we don't know for certain. And then the main questions will be, we're gonna assume that Chilwell's starting again. It seems like he's the guy playing over Cucurella. Cucurella has kind of lost any kind of role at the moment. Reece James is the big question. Hamstring issue, wasn't in the squad over the weekend. So if he's in, that changes things as usual, especially if he's as a wing back, that's going to change a lot of things. So that's one thing that we're going to have to go back and forth on. Dortmund, not too much there. Benfica, we talked about it earlier today, but it looks like – so on the prior slate, we had the question of Chiquinho taking second. I think he was 4K, maybe even cheaper to where people were plugging him in because of the set pieces. But he may be benched now for Arsenis. Arsenis, who has been playing on the wing at times, but now with all of these guys healthy, with Ramos healthy, Silva, Neres, with these guys healthy, Arsenis has been moved back to defensive midfield. So that's what we're projecting here. That's what UEFA is projecting. So we have that. And then Bruges, we'll see what happens with Bruges, but what we have right here is kind of what we're going to be looking at. They don't have too many changes to make to their squad. So
yeah, and the formation might be a 4-3-3 or something similar. It looks like that's the formation they've been playing per Opta their last few league games.
Yeah, they're 4-3-3 that led to a loss against one of the worst teams in Belgium.
So maybe they will have to change it up.
I keep forgetting that Scott Parker is their manager, but I wonder. Yes, speaking of Fulham, but. I wonder if he's going to have his job at the end of the season because Bruges have not gotten any better since he took over. But all right, let's get into DFS here. We haven't touched on anything yet DFS related.
Yeah.
So we know Benfica. We know about Benfica, but we have João Mário, midfield only. Is he midfield only?
Yeah, he's midfield only.
Midfield only. So he's 8,800. Are we going to want any of these forwards for Benfica? Neres kind of priced at 9,700.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're probably not going to play him when Ramos is 7,800.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good reasoning? I mean, Neres may be on a couple set pieces, but is that worth the extra 2K?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I mean, David Neres, he's probably going to be the first attacker subbed off. That seems to be what happens in Benfica's games, especially if they're in control of the tie. There's no reason to have David Neres out there for the full 90. So, I mean, if he plays 80 minutes, then sure, it's not that bad. But you're looking at a $9,700 price tag for David Neres. That's a lot to pay. I mean, a couple set pieces is nice, but you really need him to be – you want him on the field for 90 minutes, and you want him to be scoring goals. That's definitely something he can do at $9,700, but he doesn't take penalties like João Mário takes penalties. So from a cash game point of view, I just think David Neres is a little bit too expensive. I mean, you don't want to full fade him in tournaments, but you're paying a premium for him. I mean, we're not projecting Guedes to start, but I mean, has less of a floor at 9,200. Ramos at 7,800. What are his goal scoring odds, Adam? It looks like they are.
He's best on the slate.
Plus 110, though. It's not great. Like, he has no floor. So, you know, half the time he doesn't score a goal and he has a floor of like 4 points for you. I mean, watch me fade him and then he takes like 10 shots on goal in the game.
But, right.
I mean, that's not a great floor to be paying for 7,800. So I guess one question you're going to be looking at in cash games, none of these forwards are particularly good, Adam. I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but like 6,600 for Kai Havertz. I mean, that's purely goal dependent. Hilaire, 6,900. That's goal dependent. He doesn't even play 90. Royce, he might take penalties. It depends who's on the field for Dortmund, but I don't think he's a particularly great floor option. Sterling isn't a great floor option. So you're probably looking at someone like Ramos or João Félix at 7,900. Hope that he takes half of the set pieces, keeps on splitting with Chilwell. But even then, he wasn't particularly strong against Leeds. So I think I just said every single name there, but the point is there's not much to play at the forward position unless you're chasing goals, more or less. So from a cash game point of view, I mean, choose your fate with Ramos or Félix. And, you know, I think maybe one reasonable point of view to take is that Chelsea have to chase the game at home. So this should be good for João Félix. We maybe could expect them to have a few more corner kicks. We could expect them to take a few more shots, create more chances. Depends how Dortmund approach the game. Are they going to try to soak up pressure? Are they going to try to take the game to Chelsea? I don't know. Who do you think? Who would you choose in cash games, Adam? Would you lean on João Félix for more of the floor, or would you maybe look for the more bimodal outcomes of Ramos and just trust that Benfica are in a cake matchup?
First, I would say, as a note, so Jorginho no longer in Chelsea. Grant Potter confirmed it this morning that Havertz is currently on penalties. So
okay.
That is just maybe not a cash note, but something for tournaments. Yep. So pretty important there. As for my second forward, I think there may, because we're back with the midfield slash forward eligibility. So we actually have Havertz now as a forward. I think on one of the recent slates, he was midfield only.
Mm-hmm.
So, but even Félix too. I think you have a question of, do you want to go down at forward for like a Tejan Buchanan at 4,400?
That's what I have right now.
Okay. Or would you want to go down in the midfield somewhere? Because like I have a lineup where like it's Ramos, Buchanan, and I still have Mario and Félix. So there's a situation where, I mean, we kind of mix in midfielders here, but like do you want to play Buchanan at 4,400 in a forward spot? Or
yeah,
would you rather go even further down in the midfield?
No, I think you're sacrificing a little bit more if you look at the midfield. So we haven't really covered that, but you have like João Mário, you have Julian Brandt, you can play João Félix in one of those spots. I think, you know, we're not really inspired by any of the forward options. There's a little floor and people are pretty reasonably priced. We don't have like, it seems like the pricing's gotten a little tougher after starting 2023 with pretty easy pricing. It's still not that bad, but I mean, Tejan Buchanan, he might get like four or five crosses. Bruges have to chase the game. I mean, and you're only paying 4,400 for him. And just for the purpose of taking up a forward spot so you can afford João Mário, João Félix, and a Julian Brandt type of character in midfield, I think that makes a lot of sense for construction. Are we projecting Marius Wolf to be in, Adam, at right back? Because it's kind of a curious thing where he's 5,000. He fills up a forward spot right as well. I mean, okay, there's no upside. I think I'd probably rather play Buchanan, but that's also an option if Bruges change things up. But I don't think I want to spend up twice at forward. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah, I'm looking here. The Marius Wolf started the last four matches, and then Julian Ryerson is suspended. So it's assumed it's probably going to be Wolf and Guerrero back there at fullback for Dortmund. So Yeah, I think you'll have a decision to make. Do you want to go down to a guy like Buchanan at 4,400, or would you want to look elsewhere? Like, this could be, I mean, you could make a lineup where it's like Ramos, Felix, you could still get Mario, and then you're even looking in your utility spot for some guy in this bottom range, or even your second midfielder, because you're spending up at two forwards and then another midfielder. So
Yeah. There's just not that many compelling lower priced options. It feels like a lot of these lower priced options, unless I've missed something and unless some value, sort of unveils itself, you have a lot of like defensive midfielder types, like Ornes. We don't want to play at 3,500, even if he starts on the wing. He's not really offering much from an attacking point of view. We don't have corners from a Chiquinho. I mean, maybe someone like Casper Nielsen, he might be taking corners for Bruges. Like someone we played to a couple of weeks ago in Champions League in cash games was Noah Lang, and he was priced in such a way where he sort of fit nicely in the cash constructions, and we expected him to take set pieces. I don't think Nielsen started that game, though. Maybe we can double check. And
no, he played 25 minutes off the bench last game.
so Noah Lang had set pieces in that case. I've looked at Bruges' previous games, and the corners have been split in a sort of chaotic way that I can't put my finger on between those two. So even paying someone like 6,300 or whatever it is for Noah Lang, I'd rather just play Kai Havertz in that position because at least Chelsea are playing at home and he takes penalties. So it just seems like just spend down once at forward. I don't. What are you losing in cash games? Whereas if you're not, loading up on your midfield spots, you're risking getting run over by some of these more high floor options.
Would you rather play Buchanan or Kovacic, and then you have like 1K left over for, I don't know, the second defender kind of thing?
I would like to. I think defender, there's like a lot of really strong options at defenders, even if Reece James doesn't start. So my dummy lineup actually has Buchanan and Kovacic filling up a utility slot. But that involves me spending up a goalkeeper and defender. I haven't looked at all the combinations. It was just something that I thought made some sense.
Yeah, one of my dummy lineups here, it's built around a couple expensive defenders. So you're in a situation where you're gonna have to punt or go down to the Buchanans, to a Kovacic, in two spots. So that's kind of what we're left with. So otherwise at forward, I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, you have these Bruges guys. It just depends if you want to trust these Bruges guys to do something away from home in a more difficult spot than last time.
Yeah, and by trusting Brew, it's like a pure game theory thing, right? Like Kai Havertz is going to project better than Noah Lang, and they cost just about the same. So you're only just playing some. I don't know. It's difficult. You're still like paying up. So the only discount is Buchanan, so he's the most tempting piece. But I think he's going to be chalk for that reason. So I don't know what we want to necessarily do in tournaments for that reason, but maybe we can talk about that later.
Tournaments, yeah, I'd probably fade him. I'm gonna be heavy Vlachodimos. So I'll say that right now. I
Well, maybe we can
just don't
say
have
that
faith in Bruges to score.
it's, yeah, me neither. But can you imagine? Look at all these forward options, Adam. Like, I think we could imagine a situation where maybe Buchanan gets a few fouls drawn and gets a few crosses
And
and a
then it's
couple shots on
enough.
goal, and that's enough. You're getting like 9 points out of your second forward spot. You get the guy who scores a goal at forward, and then a lot of these other forward eligible players, they could either be used in a midfield spot, or they could just do nothing. Like David Neres could end up at 10 points at his cost, which wouldn't be enough to win a tournament. Ramos blanked last time, I think. Sterling could get subbed off early. You're not fading too much. So even if I'm playing Vlachodimos, I think Buchanan just opens up other constructions where you can be heavy on defender and midfield that it might be enough based on the dynamics of the forward position.
We haven't dived too much into it, but João Felix, 7,900. We're not in a situation where it feels like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it was like João Felix lock. And now we're looking at his game logs here. 68 minutes last game, two corners. Didn't have a corner at Tottenham. We got Ben Chilwell taking one side of the corners. So that's already removing from what we saw the max floors that he had. I mean, if people will be looking at the game logs and seeing a 16-point floor from Felix in the first leg, but it seems like that's not really happening anymore. Early sub the last two matches. I mean, I think it's. Is it reasonable even in cash games? Like, I think you could even fade Felix. I don't think he's actually he's not a must by any means.
No, I don't think he's a must. I'm sort of defaulting to playing him just because Chelsea have to chase the game. His early sub this weekend, it might likely be due to they want him rested for the Dortmund game, so he
True.
goes a full 90 minutes. So that at least I can at least talk myself out of that. So with Chelsea hopefully taking initiative, whatever that means for this current turgid Chelsea side, that matches. I'm sort of defaulting into him, but certainly in tournaments. I mean, I don't feel like I have to play João Felix in tournaments. I didn't play him last week in tournaments. Maybe that was a slight mistake, and I got a little lucky that he didn't get too strong of a floor. But yeah, if they're chasing the game compared to Ramos, I don't know. That's a choice. I think you're going to want to play at least one of them, but I don't want to play both, especially occupying forward spots.
You don't want to play both Benfica guys? I
I
think.
just don't want to. I don't want to spend up more than 7,000 on forward twice. Like, I would like to use Buchanan to open up my defender and midfield spots, I think.
Are you going to have any lineups with Ramos, Neres, and Mario?
I haven't looked at any constructions like that. That sounds awfully expensive, though. I think I would have to pay down that, like, goalkeeper. It's almost like that gets a little giga-brained. Like, do I
You're
want to play
still,
him?
well, you can still be in a position where you have like two sub 4K guys.
Yeah, but who are the sub 4K guys that you want to play?
All of them.
All of them. Just because they fill up the spot and hope and pray that it works out pretty well. I
Yeah, I
mean,
mean, what if this is scoreless draw, Chelsea, Borussia Dortmund match, whatever, or I don't know, the last game it was the unassisted goal from Adeyemi, I believe. Maybe it was unassisted. I don't know. It's off a corner. But I mean, what if Benfica could just dominate? They're at home, three, four goals. We know
that's
Chelsea have struggled scoring, so.
yeah, I guess that I mean I shouldn't really I shouldn't discount that sort of approach. If you want to script out the game like that for tournaments, I mean, maybe especially this helps if like someone like Loftus-Cheek is available at 3,800. That's if Reece James doesn't start. Maybe he starts as a right wing back or the formation changes. It's impossible to get Chelsea to, you know, figure Chelsea out precisely. But I guess your point is maybe you just find guys who both get 8 point floors and then you just needed to have stacked Benfica in order to have any hope of winning.
Just find sub 4K guys who get 8 point floors.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
That's all easy, right? Just pick the right defensive midfielder who pops off randomly that day. I think
You
that's a
just
fine way
go.
to approach tournaments, but I'm not sure I'll do. I think that'll be popular given that Benfica are big favorites.
True.
I mean, Bruges aren't
Yeah.
going to be popular. People are probably going
No.
to get sick of Chelsea. You're kind of left with playing a ton of
Do you
Benfica
think
players.
Champions League players will be sick of Chelsea?
That's a good question, actually. I'm really trying not to. I think Ryan said on the weekend show, project my feelings onto the field. I think Chelsea will be reasonably popular because they're their
Chelsea.
favorites, and it's Chelsea. These a lot of regulars playing. I think they'll. Yeah, I'm not gonna try to giga brain myself onto weird ownership takes because this is how I end up playing a 30% owned Mehdi Taremi a couple weeks ago. So I'm just gonna stick to hopefully playing better plays. And then hopefully I just think differently enough from the field that I'm leveraged enough for a 2,000 person contest or whatever I'm entering.
So for the midfield, is Joao Mario at 8,800, is he a lock?
Famous last words. I mean, I feel like I want to use him for cash games, especially if he'll split set pieces. He'll have decent goal scoring odds relative to the slate, so he's going to be very likely to contribute on a goal or assist. He's got a good floor. He takes penalties. I mean, what else are you paying for? I think he's my first name in. I mean, if Hakim Ziyech starts, I'd rather play João Mario than Hakim Ziyech, I think. Rafa Silva, he's more likely to get subbed off early, and he doesn't take set pieces, so I prefer to find the 700 for João Mario there. Jude Bellingham's more of a tournament option. Julian Brandt is interesting, but you can play both, right? If you spend down once at forward, you can play two of the good midfielders. So I think there's no reason to avoid João Mario, especially in cash games. I'll probably be overweight on him in tournaments because he's our boy. So we have to go there. I also think he's the best play in the best spot. If Benfica score goals, it would be unusual if João Mario wasn't involved. But maybe that's a good tournament option. You know, you can do something like play you know, do that three, that pair of three that you mentioned, Adam, the pair of three, that doesn't even make any sense, but you can do Giancarlo Ramos, David Neres, and then you can play Rafa Silva. So you have, you know, maybe Jean-Marie gets 10 points, but that's not enough because the other three guys score goals. That's something that you could conceive happening. I'll probably not play that way though.
It probably has to be mentioned. So while Joe Mario has he has five goals in Champions League, four of those are penalties. So, I mean, you're kind of just, you mean you're playing him for the penalties, but I mean, it's pretty easy to not to go with the other Benfica guys in tournaments because, you know, well, if there's not a penalty, maybe then he's not going to score. So,
yeah, I think you should use all of them. I mean, Rafa Silva, 8,100, that's a pretty fair price. I mean, would you rather play in a tournament Joao Felix or Rafa Silva? I feel like I would rather target Silva.
I don't want to make that decision.
Well, we don't have to right now. We have 24 hours, 22 or something.
Prego Silva. It doesn't seem like Ziyech is going to start. So is your cash lineup kind of looking like Ramos, Buchanan, Mario, and then as your other midfielder, you are going Brandt?
Yeah, I'm using Julian Brandt just because he's a little bit cheaper and I'm ending up needing the salary. But if you wanted to spend a little more, who was your second midfielder, Adam? You were putting Joao Felix in there?
Yeah.
I think you can find the 600 if you just punt. Like, you can use Dennis Adoy. He might play as like a defensive midfielder. He's defense eligible and costs like 2,700, I think, on this slate. So I think I would have the money to be able to maneuver the pieces around to get up to that sort of construction. But yeah, I think we're on the same page with that. Use Buchanan, use a Ramos or Felix. And then I do want Julian Brandt and Joao Mario. Julian Brandt's in really good form in the league. He's been the primary. He plays most of the game, whereas the other peripheral attackers for Dortmund have maybe been playing 70 minutes or something like this. And he's been contributing a lot of goals and assists. He scores a lot of shots. He's their primary set piece taker. So he should split set pieces with Rafael Guerrero. Unless you expect Dortmund to just completely soak pressure the entire game, I don't think they're going to necessarily play that way. You know, Julian Brandt seems like a perfectly good option at 7,300. But you have options nearby. I think just for like the construction, I think you can do something like that.
Yeah, we saw I can't remember what exactly happened with lineups last slate, but I remember I fell into Brandt and he was 6,800. I fell into Brandt and like my cash build kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he went up 500 in price, despite being away from home now. But yeah, I mean, can you fit Ramos, Buchanan, Mario, Felix, and Brandt? That's when you're gonna have to punt on your second defender. I guess that's kind of what it comes to.
Yeah, then the difference between a construction like that is you might have to use a center back or maybe some cheap fullback value becomes. So you'll have to choose one of Grimaldo and Chilwell, punt at a defender spot, and then you'll have that midfield three. That should be possible, although I haven't done the math. But I think you can make that sort of sacrifice. You might have to tinker with your goalkeeper as well. Sounds like a compelling construction, but
yeah, I believe you can do it, but you're probably not going to be able to get Vlachodimos. Assuming you want Chilwell on your team.
Yeah, I do want Chilwell. I think defender is really strong, so I don't think I want to use like three good midfielders in cash games and then sacrifice a defender spot, because it's so likely that, you know, at least two of Grimaldo, Chilwell, Reece James, if he starts, Guerrero is in a good spot at a reasonable price of 5,300. I mean, these guys all seem like great plays, and I'd much rather, you know, compare them to the other positions, right? We don't really like any of these 5K forwards or midfielders. We haven't really talked about the 5K midfielders, but would you rather play Kai Havertz or Alejandro Grimaldo?
Grimaldo.
I think I'd rather
talking,
play.
We're talking cash here, right?
Yeah, I'm talking cash games. Yeah. This. So I think just.
I'd rather play Enzo than Kai.
You'd rather play Enzo. Didn't he take a corner in the last game? I've been worried about this eventual reckoning of Enzo Fernandez. Like, I'm not going to be playing him, and then he's going to start taking all of the corners like he did for Benfica before his transfer. I think he snuck one in.
He has a free kick.
A free kick, okay.
I'm not sure he has actual corner. Yeah, it must just be one free kick here.
Yeah.
I mean, he has like a 10-point floor, whereas I know Havertz has the upside, but Is it worth it?
For tournaments, but like
in cash games? I mean,
in cash, I want to spend up twice a defender. So like the 2v2 is like, you know, Kovacic and Grimaldo versus a punt defender and Brand, something like this. And like Grimaldo has been contributing with shots and goals in league. So I feel like the floor upside probably leans towards the defender position in that case. And just hope that you can find an acceptable floor with one, whoever you have as a punt option in midfield.
Yeah. The classic Ryan Belongi strategy. If the midfielders are good, you just go with the midfielders because they're usually underpriced. And I mean, again, they're underpriced here. I mean, you could say that Grimaldo should be, I don't know, TAA pricing, 7,500. You could say Ba should be 6K.
Yeah, Ba's pretty conveniently priced as well.
Chilwell should probably be over 6,000.
Yeah, Chilwell should definitely be more expensive. I don't think his price reflects his set-piece role. Grimaldo's price sort of he doesn't have set-pieces, but it reflects the fact that he has a really good attacking ceiling. So I think he's probably pretty fairly priced, and Chilwell's underpriced. So more likely to use – if I only use one of these defenders and have to punt down for some reason, which you really have to punt all the way down in that case, most likely use Chilwell.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What about Chilwell, Grimaldo, and Ba? You think that's a, it could be a tournament route, but I mean, it's also a cash route. Just depends where else you go, because you are spending a lot there. And do you want Vlachodimos or not? Because that's also going to decide a few things. But
yeah, I think you can do that. Like if you just go all the way down to Mignolet, I'm clicking it right now. So if I go to Mignolet and then I clicked out of my forwards for some reason. Yeah, I think that's something you could do, but I'm of the opinion, I see like the computer players basically, you know, like your Redcoats and your Ceramics. In these spots, they're almost always spending up at goalkeeper, which makes me think it's probably the optimal thing to do. So I would really like to pay for Vlachodimos if I can. But I think three defender constructions could be pretty strong in tournaments. You talked about situations where there's not many goals. I mean, some of these defenders have really high floors. So if it's more of a floor point type of slate where you just have to find, you know, one goal from each game and then hopefully, you know.
I just built the perfect floor lineup here.
Well, let me read it out.
I don't know if I might be using this. All right.
We'll keep it a secret.
We got Ramos, Buchanan. We'll do Chilwell, Grimaldo, Ba. You can plug Meyer in with this, and then at midfield you got Brandt and Mario.
There you go. I think that's a good lineup.
I mean, you have the best three floor defenders. You got Brandt and Mario. Maybe Buchanan can get an 8-point floor. You got Ramos, who's the most likely to score on the slate, and we know Chelsea struggle to score, so I mean, you're spending down at goalkeeper, but as we said at the top of the show, are we sure that Chelsea should have a 1.69 implied goal total? Are we sure about that?
If they don't have that against Leeds, the most informed team in Germany, it seems wrong. So I think that's like a great, like, even like single entry tournament lineup. That sounds right. Don't dupe Adam, everyone. Show some respect. Make a 2v2.
We're getting a question from G. Any minutes concerns if Benfica are leading 1-0 at half? Some of these guys are going to be subbed off. I mean, I think just in general, like, we already have minutes concerns because we pretty much know Silva, Neres, Ramos, those guys are getting subbed off.
Yep.
It seems like Mario, the defensive midfielders, maybe like Chiquinho will come on for Arsenis or something like that. Maybe one of the fullbacks will be subbed, but
yeah,
that's kind of what their subs are like. I mean, if it's 1-0, I still think that's pretty hard to see them just like, okay, we're up 3-0 in the tie and we're just gonna sub
take three of our attackers off at the 60th minute. I don't think it's necessary, right? It's not a particularly tough league campaign for them either. They have a good lead, so I don't think they're gonna risk any horrible tail outcome like that. But yeah, outside of the default reasons, like, I am worried about Neres's early sub risk at his price. Yeah.
I mean, you're already, it doesn't even matter what the score is. I think you're just worried already about the sub risk.
Yeah. You pay $9,700 for a guy who could pop off at the 75th minute. I mean,
yeah,
that's not great.
But they could also score 4 goals in the first half, and then you'd be like, oh man, I didn't play any of these guys because I thought they would only go 60 to 70 minutes, and then they each have a goal and assist to each other, kind of a thing. So
yeah, I run into myself chasing my tail the whole time, right? So, you know, talking devil's advocate with myself, like, if he plays 75 minutes, that's like, I can do math, it's like 85% of the game. That's pretty good. I mean, it stinks that he's not playing the last 15, but it's not like Benfica are really going to be pushing the tie. We don't anticipate that they're going to be pushing the tie at that point. So, you know, sometimes we want to make sure our guys are on for the last 15 minutes because that's when the most back and forth action can happen in a game. Yeah, you can convince yourself. I don't know. It's mostly a price thing with Neres. I think that's what I'll leave it at.
So we talked about the top three defenders. Is there anyone else? So for a punt defender, or I mean, I don't see there's really, I guess Guerrero's here at 5,300. We didn't really mention him, but is there any reason to go with, I mean, anyone between 4K and 5K or even below? I mean, well, who's the next guy you want to play outside of the top three, four defenders here?
Yeah.
No one.
I wish I could play four of them. Like if Reece James started, but I can't. Because the floors and ceilings that they all provide all just seem really compelling. So I want to be like, there's five good defenders, Adam. You have Grimaldo, Chilwell, Reece James if he plays, Guerrero, and Ba. And if you're punt, it's very likely that two of them do pretty well. So I would like to be spending it up twice when I can, especially from a cash game point of view. And then you look through the other players. I mean, Bjorn Meyer, I think that's his name, for Bruges. I mean, mm-hmm. he's okay, 4,200. But you could just find $900 for Alex Ba, or you could find $1,100 for Guerrero. So
yeah, I would not do the 4,200 on.
Yeah, like you're just in a dead zone. Like 4,000 for Otamendi. I mean, this isn't showdown, so I'm not going to captain Otamendi.
Right. I think you either spend up or you go down to like the Chelsea center backs and hope that Chelsea are pressing. They're going to get a bunch of, you know, center back set piece shots, kind of thing, pressing at the end of the game, kind of thing. So
yeah. Fofana, 2,800. That's perfectly reasonable. I think you just want to spend as little as possible so you can get up to the strong midfield plays that we've been mentioning. Like I said, Dennis Adoy, if he plays as a defensive midfielder, that can't be the worst punt play if you use that salary in other spots of your lineup at 2,700. You could go back for more Koulibaly punishment at 3K. Yeah, sorry, Adam.
So if Reece James starts, I mean, we kind of mentioned the three other guys, and I guess I was building the Chilwell Grimaldo Ba lineup, maybe under the assumption that James isn't going to start. But let's say James starts. How do we look at this? Are we going to not use Grimaldo and use James instead? Are we Should we rank the four defenders here? I don't know if Guerrero. I think Guerrero is pretty safely the fifth option here, but
I think he probably is, just because Dortmund don't have to press necessarily, but he's also better priced. So let's say Reece James starts. He's the second most expensive option, right? And he's not taking set pieces right now. I think he took like one free kick in his last league start. I'm in a position where I'd rather just play Chilwell, or I'd rather find the 500 for Grimaldo, who has been playing 90 and has not quite as good, but pretty good attacking upside as well. So I think I would put like Reece James firmly behind those two. And then it's a question of Alex Ba or Reece James. I mean, Ba could contribute to a goal in some way. I just feel like Reece James, there's some risk, right? Like, if he has a hamstring injury, we've seen this before with Reece James where they pushed it too much and he had to be subbed off early. So is a 60th minute substitution for Reece James out of question? I don't necessarily think so. I don't really want to embrace the risk of Reece James. I'm a little bit risk averse in that way. Maybe that's incorrect. I still think he'll get played because he's Reece James. I'd probably put him last in the list. I'd probably rather
below Guerrero.
I feel like I know that Guerrero takes set pieces, and especially in a lineup, in a tournament lineup, say, where you speculate Chelsea score a goal and now Dortmund have to activate. This is going to be fantastic. So especially from that point of view, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm too pessimistic on Reece James, but I think there's a lot of risk. And at least what you can say is that the other options that you're spending up on have strong upside. So he's not a must to me. I mean, he could ruin my slate, but the other options are compelling. What do you think? Do you have like a more pro Reece James argument?
No, unfortunately I don't. James always has the upside. I mean, we know about Reece James' upside. He has goal upside. Doesn't matter if he has set pieces, but you throw in that Grant Potter had his press conference today, you know, game time decision, whatever, late fitness test, that it's a day before. He just missed a game with the hamstring issue. So 90, are we expecting 90? This guy who's had, you know, injury issues for the past year, is it worth it for 6,200? Not in cash games. I mean, of course, you can always be worth it in tournaments, but I think I'm going to rank them. I'm actually going to have Ba at one.
For price considered, right?
Because of his price. Because we're getting Ba at 51. We have Benfica as the biggest favorite. It's assumed that they're probably going to control this match, kind of a thing. I mean, is Grimaldo worth the extra $1,600 because he might get two or three set pieces? I mean, Bosman pretty good. I played him a lot throughout Champions League this season. I played him, believe I played him last late, but I mean, he's 5,100. He's pretty cheap here. And then I'd probably go, like, my two guys would be Chilwell and Ba. I think those are who I want. If I don't have the money, kind of a thing, for Grimaldo, I'm going to be looking at Chilwell and Ba, and then it'll probably be Grimaldo. And then between James, I mean, I guess we don't even have to rank James and Guerrero because that's the fourth and fifth defender. But, I mean, yeah, why not save $900 on Guerrero when the guy who could come on for him, Ryerson, is suspended? So,
yeah, I think Guerrero's a compelling option, especially. Like I said, if I'm rostering Chelsea attackers, I'd like to have in tournaments, I would like to run it back with Guerrero.
I mean, we're good. I mean, G's telling us that Chelsea have to risk James because they have no other right back and nothing else to play for. But I mean, what if he's not healthy?
Yeah, we'll find out an hour before lock, right?
And I don't know if you've ever had a hamstring, like strain your hamstring or tweak your hamstring, like it. It's not something you can actually play on.
Well, I wouldn't know. Have you tweaked your hamstring?
Yeah, I pulled my hamstring a few years ago. It's just like you can't move on it. This is obviously a tweak because he's only been out, so he can feel his hamstring. It's bugging him, kind of a thing. And if you play on it, it's just going to get worse. So that's kind of the worry. They don't want to have him play 45 minutes, and then at halftime, it's like, well, my hamstring kind of hurts right now, and if I go a little bit longer, it could lead to a month out, multiple months out with it, surgery for his hamstring. So,
yeah. And like G is saying, they have no other right back, but if they play three at the back, I mean, Loftus-Cheek is perfectly acceptable as a right wing back, I think, from Graham Potter's point of view.
I'm just looking at the Azpilicueta. I don't think Azpilicueta is actually ruled out.
He could start. 4,100 is that his price?
Yeah, I don't know. Would you want to play Azpilicueta? I guess we talked about it.
I don't know. Well, I was talking to Ryan Bolangi once, and he said he played Azpilicueta in one of his lineups because he had the captain band. So why not? So that's how you win at DFS. You look at who has the captain armband for Chelsea. I don't know. I think I'd rather just spend up. Like, you're kind of in this purgatory spending range, which unless you have good reason to do so.
We actually do not know. He was not Azpilicueta was not mentioned in the press conference. He's coming off a concussion, so he could be available, and that's why he wasn't actually mentioned. So, so for cash games, you kind of want to get to Vlachodimos because he's 5,700 with 43% clean sheet odds here, and yeah, I mean 5,700, you kind of want to get to him, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's goalkeeper, right? I'd like to spend up, and you can spend down, and you don't have to punt at a utility spot. And good luck picking that 2v2. I'll lean on the goalkeeper. Hopefully, I can find the right punt option who has a decent floor.
You're leaning on Vlachodimos, and if you go down, are you leaning on Meyer, or would you use the Bruges goalkeeper, Mignolet?
Let me look at I sort of just plugged in Vlachodimos. I didn't even look at the other's prices. So, I mean, I'm fine in cash games playing Mignolet and hoping, you know, Benfica take shots, you know, from far out or something. And hopefully this gives Mignolet some options for saves. It's goalkeepers. Feels like astrology trying to, you might as well just ask a magic eight ball.
Right. I remember talking about this in the first leg, like Mignolet has a ton of saves in the group stages because Bruges have been so bad. So he has, so his game log is actually pretty good because he's making all these saves, even though he's allowing goals. So
yeah.
I mean, fine. I guess, yeah. Yeah, hope it's for fine. Five saves allows two goals and you're fine. So
then you don't have to play Kovacic or Frederik Ornis in your utility spot or something similar. So, I mean, you can
I'm
justify
not playing
it.
Fred.
Well, me neither. I mean, Meyer, though, 4,000. We think that the odds are bad. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I don't care. Like, yeah. I'll tell you, I will not play Kepa. Just I will find the 400 for Vlachodimos. But spend down on either of those guys. It seems completely acceptable to me.
Fade Kepa at your own risk.
Yeah, well, they'll just captain him during showdown. Easy game. I'm diversified.
I might captain Meyer.
Two lineups. You're guaranteed to win, right?
Yeah. So what do we think? I mean, we've talked about Benfica before, but how popular have they been? How popular were they on that previous slate? Should we have done more research before doing the show? Probably.
I would need a couple minutes to pull up that slate. So maybe we can run the numbers in the Discord for people.
Yeah. RotoWire.com/soccer trial, free 48-hour trial. And once you get that, RotoWire.com/chat to get into our Discord. We will be in there. There's no doubt about that.
And we can grind what the ownership has been for Benfica over these slates. I don't know, Adam, I just go back to that the first show I ever did. We were like, is Benfica going to get overlooked? And they were mega chalk in a six-game slate. They're in the best spot. They played pretty well last week. I don't think people – it's not just a bunch of, like, randos hopping into this 10K to first place or whatever the prize pool is. So I think Benfica are going to be pretty popular.
So the move is to get Florentino because no one's going to be on Florentino? Or do you think people will be on Florentino instead of Kovacic?
What's Florentino's price? Is he 4,000?
He's 4,000.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
what do you think about the
22? I don't know.
What do you think about this Chelsea Dortmund match? Like, we mentioned that Dortmund 10 wins, no draws, no losses in the last 10 matches. You look back at that first game, the only goal, and according to analytics, they. Borussia Dortmund only had one big chance in that match, which was the goal. It came off a counter, came off a corner that bounced around a little bit, and then Adeyemi was kind of in a running match and got a goal there. So that was – I think they finished with 14 shots. They had that goal off a counter. playing at home. They were basically outplayed in that game. So now we're at Chelsea, and we've seen how Chelsea played. Do we think it's a situation where, I mean, we said it a couple times, Dortmund don't want to really press too much to be open to allowing that goal. You think it's going to be Chelsea 60-plus percent possession, just trying to pass the ball around in the final third and trying to do something? Or is this like kind of similar? Was it the Tottenham match, Chelsea against Tottenham, where who did they play recently? Was it Tottenham?
We played Tottenham 2 weeks ago. A fantastic win for my Tottenham Hotspur. Never a bad thing said about them by me.
I remember just watching that match. They were just they just couldn't really get any opportunities. They're just passing the ball around, like, I don't know, 30, 40 yards out, and they just didn't really kind of break Tottenham's back line. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think Chelsea are actually going to get the win? Are they going to actually get that goal? Or is, you know, just a scoreless draw here, just a classic Chelsea match from what we've seen from them. It's just going to be like, oh, well, João Felix hit the post three times and they just can't hit the back of the net.
I was going to ask you what you expect from the Chelsea-Dortmund game, because that's a really hard thing for me to get a pulse on. And what I might end up doing in tournaments is looking to the side where I have a bit more conviction about what's going on. Like, I think Benfica are going to just play the best plays on Benfica, and then sort of fiddle around with a couple Chelsea and Dortmund scripts. So you can definitely play where it's a cagey 0-0, or even Dortmund like nick a goal late in the game and sort of seal the tie away. I think you can play with Chelsea having 60% possession. They have to push. That's perfectly reasonable. And maybe I need to do more research on how Dortmund play. Like, do Dortmund's on the road, do they concede a lot of possession? These are things that we can look up using the RotoWire stats. So that's something that I'll be looking into. I think my favorite way to play it is that Chelsea get an early goal and it's game on, and then Dortmund have to take the game up, because that's once Chelsea score a goal, then that's going to be good for a Marco Reus in tournaments. That's going to be good for a Julian Brandt, and that's going to be good for a Rafael Guerrero. I think those are the three most promising attackers, least likely to get subbed. So I think I just might make it a rule, Adam. Just if Chelsea player, then start piling on the bringbacks for Dortmund. I don't think it's going to be like Chelsea 7-0, but maybe we should be scripting out 7-0s. I don't really have conviction, but we can make lineups that make sense for a variety of scripts. That's a cop-out take, but it's tough for me to get a feel on Chelsea. They're a very chaotic team. They're not very consistent. So how am I supposed to expect how the game goes with a very inconsistent team?
Right. A formation that Graham Potter doesn't know what he actually wants to use. Granted, he did that at Brighton too. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say the Benfica route, you can use that in tournaments and maybe, you know, tweak, do some 2v2s kind of a thing. That's basically the Benfica route. That's the cash route as well. Just tweak a couple things for tournaments kind of thing. You can be different enough. Like I said, like Florentino,
Alex Ba is probably, he might not get used a lot, and so he's a good play, but in tournaments he might be your discount version of Grimaldo. I think that's a great place to look.
Who's going to be the least popular of Benfica's four attackers? Neres, because of price?
I think I've seen like Mikel Antonio and like at 12K and get ownership. So I think if you're like the top, this is my gig ring theory. If you're the most price forward, you're going to see ownership. Rafa Silva might be less owned because he's taking up a midfield spot, and people are more likely to go with João Mario. So I think Rafa Silva might be your quote unquote sneaky route into the Benfica attack.
Right, because he probably won't be in cash lineups. So that's your move. You go from Mario to Rafa Silva kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have to decide if I'm just gonna 100% Mario, but I mean, it's a good strategy for that reason. I mean, Mario might.
I like your Chelsea Dortmund theory there. I'm just not sold on if I'm actually going to put a lineup like that together where you're going for, 2-2 result, 2-1, multiple goals kind of a thing. It just because of Chelsea, just what you said. It's just like, do you actually want to put that? I mean, we have the history, the 2-month history here. I mean, they just played Leeds where,
That's 1-0.
I mean, do we think there's going to be a ton of goals? I mean, but again, the other point of this is it's the second leg, and you know they're done if they lose. So yeah, it's a different situation than playing Premier League games. So this is, I mean, they're playing for their Champions League life. So I guess maybe throw that into the conversation, and then maybe that will sway you to play a couple more Chelsea guys, a couple more Dortmund guys, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I mean, for a tournament lineup, I mean, it doesn't feel great right now, but a 2-1 result is never an outrageous result in any soccer game. Like, Bruges could win 2-1 against Benfica, and it would be, like, mildly surprising. It's just not, like, an outrageous thing to imagine that
they're going to win. Well, I think it could be, you know, you could get 3 goals in this Chelsea match, and then this Benfica game is just scoreless. It's like, okay, Benfica, they're just like, well, they're not going to – Bruges isn't going to do enough against us. So they're just like, okay, we're fine with the scoreless draw and we'll walk away 2-0 here. So,
yeah, I mean, Benfica don't want to put on a boring affair in front of their fans, but I think their fans also want to see them in the quarterfinals. So, I mean, I think it behooves them not to be naive and get shredded on the counter at all. That game could easily be quite boring. And then you simply just have to try to find the other goal in the Chelsea Dortmund match. I mean, I think this is the important way to think it out. Like, script how one game is going to go, and then script how the other game is going to go, and then just start putting together lineups and seeing what makes sense. You should have some convictions on players. So, Adam, you really like Alex Ba. So maybe put in a couple guys that you think are really good. So always plug in Alex Ba and Chilwell into your defense. Play Jean Mario. And then see what you can do with the other 5 lineup spots. See what you can do that makes sense. Treat it as, I jokingly referred to it, I think, in a DM as, like, the Ouija board. Just sort of, like, let the prices... Once you pick a certain core of players, let the prices dictate what you do that makes sense in certain game scripts. That's how I'll be approaching it.
Yeah, and then do the opposite route in showdowns, so you're going to be up money no matter what.
And you're guaranteed to win, exactly.
Very easy, very easy. All right, you got anything else for this?
No, just for showdown, you know, throw in a Nicolas Otamendi. There you go. If I keep doing it, he has to score.
Yeah, we just got
that's a World Cup tactic.
We just got an Ethan Pinnock goal today, so it's fresh in my mind, that center back goal there.
Yeah, there you go. Easy money. There's your showdown take.
All right, so we got for Tuesday's Champions League slate. We'll have another show at some point tomorrow for Wednesday's games. You can find Jack at Jack Burkhart on Twitter. I am at Roto Zadrek. Again, rotowire.com/soccer trial. To get this cheat sheet as well as access to our Discord. Like and subscribe. Do all that good stuff. Good luck on this. We'll see everyone in the Discord. Thank you, Jack. We'll see everyone at the next show as well.
Yep. Good luck, everyone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.